We read to you 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. We've been working our way through this passage for, this will be our third week now. Begins in verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As we have been looking at this passage, we have seen that all three of these exhortations go together. And by the end of it, when it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, it's not just emphasizing, hey, the last of the three of these is the will of Christ for you. It's emphasizing the whole of this. And we may see a connection ourselves as we look at our English translations here, but as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the Greek, it is very pronounced because the verb is secondary to the adverb in each one of these commands. It is literally always rejoice, incessantly pray, in everything give thanks. And the structure, the extraordinary structure of that is what binds these three exhortations together. And then by the end of it, it says, for this, all of this, is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We've looked at the first two imperatives. Always rejoice, incessantly pray. Today we look at verse 18, in all things or in everything, give thanks. Give thanks in everything. Now, I'm not sure where this hits everybody this week. I'm pretty sure I know where this hits some of us this week. There may be some of you here today that's like, man, I have been studying on Thanksgiving all week and I just needed this capstone to my week. I've never smiled as much as this week. And thank you for verifying that, yeah, I'm thankful always. Just a shiny, happy person here. And this gives me reason to be so. If that's you today, we're all glad that you're here. Maybe others are here this morning, and this week has been one where you've said, you know what? Things have been difficult, and yet I've seen the Lord provide, and I understand. Even in the darkest situations, there is light. Even though he slay me, yet I will give thanks. And yes, needed to hear this sermon. Thank you. Good we arrived here. And everything, I'll give thanks. Can we get to the Lord's Supper yet? And there may still be yet others that have said, wait, in all circumstances? Let me tell you about some of those circumstances, and then let's talk. We're glad you're here as well. In everything, give thanks. We had a good men's fellowship last week, and we were kind of talking about verses like this. And there are certain things we go through in our lives that are dramatic and are difficult. And should we be sitting outside a burning house being like, I'm so thankful that house is going down in flames right now. All of my life's stuff is there. And Dave Ramsey told me it's just stuff. So thank you for making me a minimalist right now. Is this verse, you know, emphasizing, man, just in every rotten, terrible thing in this world, give thanks? Or maybe you see others going through trials. Man, I am so thankful they're going through those trials right now. It must be really tough for them. We're going to talk through all of these today. And as Tim is going through Heritage Hyperdrive through 1 Corinthians, and there was a little statement made about I'm going to counterbalance that today. And Tim's like, or somebody said, oh, two words of Scripture? Yes, basically two, maybe three words today, but part one of that. today. Part two next week, all right? This originally was one son-in-law. Don't make that face at me. There was an original intent to this sermon that we were going to get through Thanksgiving in general and then Thanksgiving in the context of this. And that sermon grew and grew. And I thought we need to divide this into two. So this week we are going to look at this command to give thanks in everything in general. And then next week we're going to bring this home a little bit more to the context of 1 Corinthians. And I don't like doing that because I like to say, let's just look at the context of 1 Corinthians. But you can't do it without examining a lot more as well. So that's why we're going to do it this way. There are a lot of passages of Scripture that declare this great command in similar fashion. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. Colossians 2:7, you are to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's who you ought to be. You ought to be those who are abounding in thanksgiving. Later in Colossians in chapter 3, 17, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So many passages that declare this great command. And here it is here as well. And the volume of passages, the amount of times that we see this, ought to have us sit back and say, yeah, we should find a reason to be thankful in everything. The Psalms are literally filled with thanksgiving. Just everywhere, from beginning to end. In good times and in not so good times. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness. Now, times are tough. Times are easy. They can vary. There is a time for everything. There are seasons, all sorts of seasons in life. We should rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We should weep with those who are weeping. Situations change. Does the Lord's righteousness change? No. So we could just have a sermon in and of itself. I will give thanks due to His righteousness. And in that, I can give thanks at all times, right? That's not going to be my sermon today. Psalm 44 verse 8 says, in God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. And then there's a Selah after that. So we can just be quiet for a while and think about that, right? Trying. All right, that's enough. Psalm 75:1, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your name is near. We should sing a hymn about that. Oh, we do. We recount your wondrous deeds. Thinking about all of the things that God has done now in our lives, in others' lives, and throughout the history, especially as recorded in the Scripture, we give thanks. We ought to give thanks always. But this morning, what about giving thanks when we are weary with trials? And I want us to focus this morning on some sound and encouraging principles to help us in this. Romans chapter 1 starts in an interesting way. It doesn't exactly follow the way of the master in its evangelistic plan. It starts off talking about how even the Gentiles, even the nations not under the old covenant Mosaic law that Israel was under, even those pagan nations should see the glory of God and give thanks, but they do not. And Romans starts off basically saying that alone is reason for them to deserve the condemnation of God. And by the way, us too. You don't have to have hundreds, if not thousands, of years of biblical revelation to be able to think, okay, God deserves me to be thankful. You can walk outside those doors, and before you get to your car, see enough reason to truly, rightly say, This is God's creation. That's God's sunlight shining upon us. Those trees are going to bud forth when spring, and the fresh air that fills our lungs are a reason to give thanks. And we do not want to share in the error of the pagans who refuse to honor him as God or give him thanks. We also don't want to ignore his grace in difficulty. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians. We're going to start turning to some of these passages now. Because I think these passages, when we look at, we'll say, okay, yes, the scriptures tell us to give thanks. They do. But in Colossians chapter 4, there's a passage that's kind of similar to this one, but you'll see the focus of it. Colossians 4, verse 2. What does it start out with as an imperative? Continue steadfastly in prayer. So that's bringing up some of the needs for prayer. This continue steadfastly in prayer is seeing the needs before us and bringing them before the Lord continually and not giving up, but continuing to be steadfast in prayer. But then this fascinating phrase, being watchful in it. Now, I remember when, number one, I had a couple of classes with Don Whitney. Some of you know Don. Don Whitney's preached here before. We have the indubious honor of being the church that introduced Don Whitney to Chipotle. Just so you know, I don't mean to brag, but that was us years ago. Don Whitney would teach on spiritual formation and prayer. And every now and then, he'd get a little picky. And he'd point some things out, such as how often people use the word just when they pray. And so I have determined my prayer life. If you ever hear me pause in prayer, you're like, man, is he in deep thought? Is he in emotional anguish? No, I'm trying not to use the word just at that moment. So it'll be awkward silence because somebody watched me, as it were, in prayer and be like, you know how many times you say just? Or other filler type words. It's not easy to always be watchful of yourselves, especially in prayer, because you realize just where you may be. And again, I'm not, it's a filler word for us. It's getting our thoughts. It's fine if you use the word just or say, oh Lord, over and over and over again. You're praying, it's fine. To be watchful in prayer, to examine your own prayers, to be careful of the way you're praying. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In other words, here's something to really be not worried about if you say just too many times or any other sort of, you know, emotional thing that you're doing to try and cope with this magnificent thing of communicating with the Creator of all, of everything, the Lord and the King of Kings. But if you're going to pick on your own prayers, if you're going to be watchful over your own prayers, if you're going to guard your prayers, it says to do it this way, to do so with thanksgiving. What a wonderful exhortation from Scripture to examine ourselves every now and then to realize, are you just complaining in prayer? Or is it just your list of demands, as it were? Be careful, guard yourselves, be watchful of your prayer life with thanksgiving. Now, that may seem like a little bit of a harsh thing to like, all right, now I got to watch my prayers for this. But I point it out because this, we have to because prayer is not easy. The reason we are praying is not easy. We're not supposed to just break forth in prayer because, man, I got this down. We're not supposed to break forth in prayer because there's nothing that I need. Our prayers that we are to be steadfast in are going to be the points where it is hard sometimes to give thanks. Colossians 4:2 lets us see that. Now, it doesn't let us out of that, but it shows it to us. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We are to be thankful, but the scriptures themselves acknowledge it's not always easy. And be watchful in your prayers with thanksgiving in mind. We do not want to deny that it is through difficulties that we must enter the kingdom of God. Right? Isn't that what our Lord said? We must not deny that He teaches us and He matures us through trials. Doesn't He do that? And that there are times He disciplines us out of His love for us. Correct? So in all of those times, it is going to be difficult. It is not going to be easy. And we also do not want to ignore that even in the midst of all of these things, He is the God of all comfort. He is the one who gives a peace in difficulties that is more comforting than we can derive from an easy life. And with that, turn to Philippians 4. These are passages that we know, but just see them when the scripture says, "In everything give thanks." Remember this. In Philippians 4, the end of verse 5 continues on into verse 6. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like be steadfast in prayer, but be watchful in it with thanksgiving? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's remember, dear friends, that peace is not found through a lack of trials. In fact, according to Philippians here, God grants a peace that is greater than the peace that this world can offer in the midst of trials. Remember these things. All of those things, I think, if we would have had a little questionnaire on the back of your hymn sheets, bulletins, had the true-false quiz, we probably would have gotten each one of those points correct. Don't know anybody would have failed to be like, yeah, sure. I know I'm to be thankful and everything. Here's what I want to remind our hearts of this morning. The commandments that we see to be thankful always, to give thanks, are not a sort of biblical blindness to the extreme or most extreme difficulties in our lives. That's maybe something we need to be reminded of today or at some point in our lives. None of these passages of Scripture are just this rosy picture of the Christian life that it's never extremely, extremely difficult. In fact, I think if you were to dig into each one of those passages that we've already read or referred to, you would see that there are acknowledgments in each of them of both sorrow and fear. And probably see many of those passages, as we saw in Philippians, dealing with anxiety. The scriptures take this on head on. It's not blind to it. It's not pretending that it doesn't happen. It's not like, hey, you walk through the doors there and your sorrows just melt away and you are just ravished with joy. You're going through hardships. God knows this. God knows and has revealed in His Word there are times in our lives where temptation will come in that is attacking this very truth. There are times in our lives where we will be tempted to question God's purposes in our trials or in the trials of those whom we love. Are we too super spiritual to acknowledge that can happen? There are times in our lives we will be tempted to question God's purposes. Also, there are times in our lives when we will be tempted to be angry at God. And we will be tempted to be jealous of others who are not going through such trials. There are times we're not ready to sing "Whatever My Lot." Turn to the 73rd Psalm. Mentioned earlier, the Psalms are filled with thanksgiving. They are built upon thanksgiving. It's everywhere in the Psalms. Early after I became a believer, I was found at Steele's Used Christian Bookstore, a little book by DeMartin Lloyd-Jones. It was a book of his sermons, sermons on the 73rd Psalm. And I'll never forget how instrumental those words that come from this psalm were to me. In the 73rd Psalm, let me read the beginning five verses. The psalmist says, "Truly God is good to Israel. He is good to those who are pure in heart." Got to be a chippy psalm, right? Verse 2. "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw their prosperity. For they have no pains until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek and healthy. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of us." So here, Psalm 73, Psalm 73 is expressing the heart of one that says, "Man, it's tough. It's tough sometimes. I just about fell away. My feet just about slipped out from under me." Dear friends, God Himself knows your temptations. He's delivered in His Word psalms such as this that are designed to capture your heart right now to say, "God knows you." And by the end of the 73rd Psalm, you look down to verse 23. "I do pray you have moments like this in the midst of those temptations, that by God's grace you realize, along with the psalmist in verse 23, the Lord says, 'Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand.'" Or he says of the Lord, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you?" We often forget that verse is in the 73rd Psalm that has begun saying, "I just about didn't believe you. That psalm is the one that can arrive at saying, "Who do I have but you?" And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. And he arrives at an important point that I hold before all of us, myself included, today. I have made the Lord my God my refuge. As we think about Thanksgiving today, the scriptures are absolutely clear. You are living in a world that is just tossing you around in the tempest. The storms are knocking you around, and you need a refuge. I need a refuge. And by God's grace, may it be in Him. Because I can't hold to you anything else that will ultimately protect you. Like I said, there are temptations out there to think there are other things to take refuge in. None of them. None of them give you peace. And you say, all right, that first group you talked about that came in today, like, oh, I'm just ready to give thanks. Okay, see how that helps them. Or that other group that's like, yeah, I know it's difficult, but there's always something to be thankful for. Okay, yep, that helps them. What about... what about when you are in temptation? You see it. You know it. You feel it. As a believer, you are tempted to question God and to be angry with Him. I want to hold forth a truth to you, and I have nothing else. I've got no other words of wisdom. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, knows what you're going through. He went through it. He went through temptation, yet without sin. You know, from Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of what? Sorrows. He was well acquainted with what? Grief. Well acquainted with grief. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Our Lord knows our sufferings. Matthew 26, you know this passage well. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, we often think of this passage like, okay, they're not going to pray very well, are they? They weren't being watchful in it with Thanksgiving, were they? But that's not my focus in this passage today. My focus is not their failure. My focus is on the description of our Lord. In verse 37, it says, and taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus himself was sorrowful and troubled. Did he sin? No. But was he sorrowful and troubled? Yes. Are you sorrowful and troubled? Then Jesus said to his disciples, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. In John 12:27, he says, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come this hour. And then in John 11:33, at the death of Lazarus, it says, when Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. My soul is very sorrowful. My soul is troubled. He was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Our Lord is well acquainted with the sorts of grief that we go through. Now lastly, turn to Hebrews 4. And by lastly, I mean the last of two passages I'm going to have you turn to. Hebrews 4. In verse 14, and you guys know I can't get away from this passage, the end of chapter 2, the end of chapter 4 of Hebrews, you need daily. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knows what you're going through this week. He is absolutely able to sympathize with us and our weaknesses. And he is one who in every way has been tempted as we are. So if you feel shame because you are struggling to give thanks to him, don't let that shame keep you from going to him right now. Don't act as if that would somehow offend him in a way that you would have to admit. He has been tempted as you are. And he didn't sin. And this passage doesn't say, since he didn't sin and you do, better shy away from that one with him. No. He has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. So then, verse 16, let us with what? Confidence. Do what? Draw near to him. Who? The one who has been tempted in every way as we are right now. That temptation to be angry, to question, to struggle, to admit my feet have almost slipped. Go to him because you will draw near to the throne of his grace and receive mercy and find grace to help you in this time of need. One other passage I want to read before we close. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Like, you're going to break out Romans 8 on us after this sermon, really? You're going to talk about all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Really? Now? Yes, I am. But I'm going to start in a verse we don't often start in when we quote that. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, when you've got no other counsel to give, when somebody's going through something and they can't answer it, this is the trump card, so to speak. You know, all things are working together for good. But how does it start? Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Dear friends, be so thankful for that. It doesn't say, likewise, true doctrinal statement will help us in our weaknesses. All things work together for good. Likewise, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God will help us in our weaknesses. And believe me, there are times it does, but that's not what this says. The Spirit Himself helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. Have you been there this week? I don't even know what to pray for. I'm out of words. I'm out of thoughts. I'm out of strength. But it says the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You all know me. My pet peeve is unspoken prayer requests. You don't have to give me details. You don't have to give me names. Just say, hey, can you pray for a situation in my life? This is the most unspoken prayer request there is, when you can't even put it into words before God. Because the Spirit Himself intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And I've never noticed that "and" there before. And in connection with what? The Spirit helping us in our weaknesses. That's what the "and" connects. The Spirit interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. And it's not enough to just leave it. There's the doctrine, friends. Smile and give thanks. There's that. And the Spirit Himself helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. Let's pray now. Father, thank You for Your word, Your timely word, Your powerful word. Thank You for Your love and Your care for us. And we thank You for Your Son, our risen Lord, our Savior, who is able to come to our aid in our time of need. We will have times of need, Lord. Father, may this build the body up. May this give encouragement. Father, may we recognize it's not always easy and we do not always have the right words even in prayer. But You are greater than our weaknesses. You have revealed glory in Your word. Father, we give thanks to You for Your character. We give thanks to You for Your grace. We give thanks to You for Your love. We give thanks to You for Your gentleness. Father, help us when we can't think anymore what to give thanks for. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for Your body. Thank You for the Lord's table. Thank You for faith. May we draw near to the throne of mercy, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm.